This is your warlord of weird, Sin Bodhi. Look both ways before you cross the street while you're skating on thin ice carrying scissors. You're listening to The Final Count.
Hi, this is former WWE superstar Kieran Cross, and you're listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE and TNA Impact superstar Mike Knox, a.k.a. Nux. You are listening to The Final Count. Keep it tuned.
Hey everybody, Anthony Corelli here, formerly known as Santino Morella, and you are listening to The Final Count.
Yo, peeps, you're listening to The Final Count with my boy Ryan right there, bro. So listen, don't forget who's telling you this. It's your boy, Eric.
Hello everybody, it's the Croc Rockin', Nickelback Poppin', Curls for All the Girls, the Perminator, Sam Beal, as seen on Impact Wrestling, and you are listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE superstar Victor, and you are listening to The Final Count.
That's right, wrestling fans. It's that time of weekend. It's time for The Final Count Spotlight. And on this episode, I am joined by my guest, the Deputy of Professional Wrestling, Tyler Deputy. That's right, the Deputy of Professional Wrestling, Tyler Deputy, will be joining me in just a few moments. But first, I want to go ahead and mention to you that we, right here at The Final Count, we thank you for all of your support. Thank you for all of your support by following us on all of our social media, by liking, by sharing, by subscribing to us on YouTube, following us on Facebook, following us on Instagram, following us on X, formerly known as Twitter, following us on TikTok, liking videos, hearting videos, liking posts, like hearting posts, whatever it is that you do to support us, we thank you. We thank you for all of your support. We thank you for your support and listening. We thank you for your support and being a follower of all of our shows, watching our shows if you watch the video versions, or if you listen to this, the audio versions, or if you do both. We thank you for all of your support and everything that you support us and every way that you support us. We thank you. And then we also want to encourage you. You can now go to jcountyapp.com. That's jacksoncountyapparel.com. And you can purchase your official The Final Count hoodie for only $45 and or t-shirt for only $25. So head on over to jcountyapp.com. That's jacksoncountyapparel.com, jcountyapp.com, and pick up your official The Final Count t-shirt and or hoodie. And, you know, buy it for your favorite friend, buy it for your close friend, your best friend, buy it for that family member, buy it for that family member's birthday, buy it for a cousin's birthday, whoever it is, buy it for someone's birthday, buy it for that special someone. Buy it for yourself and be proud to be a listener and follower of The Final Count. And we thank you for doing that in advance. We thank you for going on WWEshop.com and using our affiliate code to do so and purchasing your favorite WWE wrestlers t-shirt, WWE wrestlers hoodies, WWE wrestlers action figures. You know, I don't know if they sell those still on the website, but their championships, replica belts, whatever it is that you might buy on WWE Shop, we thank you for purchasing that and using our affiliate code, our affiliate link, rather, to purchase that, to make that purchase. We thank you in advance for all that. We thank you in advance for listening to our shows, watching our shows, whatever it is you may do. We thank you for all of your support right here at The Final Count. And for right now, I'm going to throw it to some plugs, and then we will be back with my interview with the Deputy of Professional Wrestling, Tyler Lee Deputy. Stay tuned. Grab yourself something cold to drink and good to eat, and stay tuned. You can find us on social media by going to facebook.com/thefinalcountky on Facebook, and then on Instagram and Twitter at thefinalcountky, and on YouTube you can find all of our past episodes by just typing in on the search bar thefinalcountky. Also, I want to mention we are now on more platforms for podcasts, such as Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, and also on iTunes. So be sure to check us out on all those platforms that you can find podcasts on. The Final Count is on all of those platforms that I just mentioned. I want to go ahead and mention that if you go to ColinElbowBrand.com and use the promo code FinalCountKY, you can save 10% at checkout when you use our promo code, and you will be supporting not only Colin Elbow, but you will also be supporting The Final Count and getting merch and all that good stuff. Colin Elbow has good swag. Definitely recommend it. Very comfortable, great fitting swag, t-shirts and shirts. So definitely go over and check out ColinElbowBrand.com. Use the promo code FinalCountKY, that's in all caps, and save yourself 10% at checkout, and tell them The Final Count sent you, and say hi to Al Snow. But with more, speaking of Al Snow, with more on ColinElbowBrand.com, with more on Colin Elbow, here is Al Snow.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The Wrestling Brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
All right, fans, I am joined now by the Deputy of Professional Wrestling, Tyler Lee Deputy. How you doing, Tyler?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Ryan.
Thank you for joining me on the Final Count Spotlight. As we're getting this, I know we've talked about this, and so it's good to have you on.
It's good to be on. I haven't been asked to do too many podcast appearances, so hopefully your fans enjoy it.
Definitely. I'm sure they will. First, let's talk about when did you decide to get into the pro wrestling business?
So, I moved to Louisville in February of 2020 for OVW. Deciding to get into the business, I was a real big wrestling fan as a kid up till about middle school. I kind of got out of wrestling for a while, as far as watching it. Just kind of got into girls and other things, you know, right. High school, you know. I was working as a team lead for FedEx up in Indianapolis, and some of my employees on first shift, it's like every morning they'd be coming in and talking about WWE or what happened on wrestling. And I wasn't really in the loop. And just wanting to be part of the conversation, I started tuning in as well.
Right.
And the first particular episode I turned back into, Jericho returned. It was in a segment with the New Day. He came out and he did the Rudy Tootie Booty promo.
Yeah.
And that hooked me. I don't know what it was. Jericho coming back, I got the itch. And I started listening to all the wrestling podcasts. Something to Wrestle With Pritchard was the one that really pulled me at first.
Right.
And got the itch. And I never thought growing up that pro wrestling was a possibility, because when you watch it on TV, you think like that's unattainable. But in real life, you know, if you go to the proper school and get the proper training, you can be out there. And there's a lot of schools out there where you're not going to get the proper training. And OVW was, I felt, one of the best schools out there. So I made the decision to move here.
Yes, definitely. OVW, I agree with you. It is one of the best schools. It's known as the Harvard of pro wrestling. I mean, definitely one of the best schools out there. Now, who were some of your inspirations? Did you have any inspirations, people you enjoyed watching, maybe as a kid or later in life?
So growing up, my favorite wrestler was Rob Van Dam. I don't know what it was about him, the high-flying moves, the laid-back attitude, just the charisma to get the whole fans into just the Rob Van Dam, you know. He was probably my favorite as an adult. I don't watch too much modern wrestling, and that's nothing against modern wrestling. It's just having time to do it, you know, sit down and watch the show. I might tune into a pay-per-view every now and then. But man, more that I was an adult, Chris Jericho, like his whole career, especially when he, because, you know, more introduced to him when I first started watching wrestling was when Jericho started doing the more heel Jericho in WCW, where he had the hair, you know, just the crazy wild antics. And then his every iteration of his character over the years has always been good. And he's always found a way to reinvent himself.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what you have to do. You have to figure out that way to reinvent your character, reinvent yourself, and think of ways to do things that's going to give you that longevity. That's really important. Now, talk about your training. What was it like being trained by Cash Flow, Tony Gunn, Doug Basham, and OVW, but then in Grindhouse Pro Wrestling, Ronnie Roberts?
So, my training was a little bit delayed because, like I said, I moved into Louisville in February of 2020. And then March 2020,
right,
everything shut down. So I didn't really get started until October of 2020. And I got in there. I don't necessarily know how their training is now. I do sometimes still sit in with Tony Gunn's class, help out there. But when I first started, Cash Flow was the first guy I was really introduced to, you know what I mean? And he sat us down, asked us, you know, what makes you be a professional wrestler, want to be a professional wrestler? And I kind of told him the same story that I just told you earlier about, you know, all my employees, they kept talking about like Monday Night Raw and what was going on and the Jericho promo and saying how I just wanted to make people feel that way, you know. And the first two things he taught me, number one, we went out there, we all took a side of the ring, and he taught us about wiping our feet before we step in the ring, out of respect for not only the business, but every other person that's stepping in that ring, you know. And the second one is, that you're only as good as your opponent. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how good you are, if the other person's not on your same level, or if, you know, the person's way better than you, you got to work up to their level. You know what I mean? It's definitely, you're working together to put on a great match. You know, working with Cash Flow, he definitely toughened me up. You know what I mean? I came in kind of out of shape because with the pandemic, there was no gyms. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it was a lot of sitting at home and playing video games. I'm sure everybody kind of went through that. But, you know, he toughened me up. He got me in shape, taught me the fundamentals, wore me out, you know. Then after Cash, so how they do things at OVW, it's more of like your beginner's class is 12 weeks and your intermediate class is 12 weeks. And then with Doug Basham, technically it's 12 weeks. But after that, it goes into more, you know, advanced training, and it goes on for just as long as you keep going and as part of your, as long as you're a part of the roster. With Tony Gunn, he is, in my opinion, one of the best trainers out there, because he's a teacher in real life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can really break things down and make it make sense when you're first coming in. And, you know, especially coming back now and a few years later and trying to help him out, teaching his students now, which he's teaching, we're helping demonstrate and stuff, you know.
Right.
I used to sit in every now and then, help him there. It's just the way he breaks it down makes it make sense, because it's a lot, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of things you don't think about, and that's where Doug Basham comes in. The more advanced things, it's the in-between things. It's having, and there's differences in the type of matches you're having, as opposed to a TV match or, say, a house show match where it's for, you know, on a TV, you're going to the broader audience, people at home, where on a house show or any on the indie level, it's the people in the chairs who you're playing to, you know.
Right.
Doug's very good at breaking down things, too. I learned a lot from all of them, each individually. I was with OVW for about 3 years. Still on very good terms with them. I love OVW. I haven't been working their TV in a while. For me, it just kind of got to a point. I was a cameraman there for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I was a performer and cameraman for about 4 months, and then the rest of the year, a wrestler, you know. It just got to the point where I was feeling very unfulfilled. You know what I mean? And Ronnie Roberts, he's kind of a mentor to me. He saw me out on the indies hustling, you know, trying to hustle. I didn't know what I was doing. You know what I mean? Because something coming up in the OVW system, you're very kind of spoiled and you don't realize it. You know what I mean? They have really great facilities. You have opportunities to go, you know, to all the house shows and learn how to set things up. But when you're out there navigating, say, indies, and not necessarily knowing what you're doing, how to talk to promoters, how to ask your rate and everything. He saw me out there trying. I sent in some matches for me to come into Grindhouse and work. He kind of would just hit me up randomly and say, hey, I have a show tonight. Do you want to work? I'd get there. You know, we'd drive there. We'd talk the whole way. Get there. It'd be me and him. They'd give us a time. And I'd go up to Ronnie. I'd be like, what are we doing? And he'd be like, I'll see you out there. So, you know what I mean? And it's very nerve-wracking when you're in there with a veteran and you don't know what you're doing. You know?
Right.
And I credit Ronnie a lot with the performance aspect, the in-between things, the making moments, the on-the-job training, if that makes sense. I have a lot of respect for all of those guys individually. And that's why I kind of put Ronnie on there too. Although, and you never stop training, but technically I trained with OVW, but I like to credit Ronnie a lot too, because Grindhouse is one of the main promotions I work now. He takes care of me there. He really does.
Definitely. Shout out to all the guys over at Grindhouse and Tony and all the guys over there. Love Too Tough Tony, love Grindhouse. I need to get out to a show over there. We'll talk about that later. do you remember your first match? And if so, what was that like?
My first match, everybody says their first match doesn't go well. Mine actually went really well, surprisingly. It was at Supreme Wrestling in Madison, Indiana. Shout out to Eric Draven and those guys. There's a wrestler by the name of DNA. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He was coming into OVW and doing darts, and I was a cameraman, and I had never been given the opportunity to have a match on a house show or a dart, you know? And I feel like it was kind of delayed for me getting a match because I was on camera for so long. You know what I mean? You kind of get placed in that role, and I was good at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was coming in doing darts, and I was explaining to him, you know, how the training was going, and saying, I kind of just mentioned Supreme Wrestling and how I'd never had a match. He asked how long I'd been training, and he just said that, I'll give you your first match. And I was like, really? And he got a hold of Draven. We went down there. It's kind of nerve-wracking, and it's kind of different. The first show, me and him, we did talk over a lot because it was a first match, you know what I mean? But it went really well, surprisingly. Everybody was like surprised it was my first match, but the quality of training at OVW, and I can't put them over enough how great of a school that is. I felt like I was in the wings so long that when I finally got there, I wasn't nervous. You know what I mean? I was in the moment.
Right.
But yeah, my first match was in January of 2022. So not that long ago, honestly. It's almost 2 years for me.
So. Wow. Yeah, you know, like you said, everyone's first match, that's usually... So it's an interesting story to hear what someone's first match was like, whether they're just thrown into a battle royal or what it may be. You know, it's always interesting. So I love to hear everyone's first match experience. While we're talking about matches, if you could pick three matches that you've had thus far in your career, what matches would you pick as your favorites?
As my favorites, three matches that were my favorite. There's a lot of guys that I enjoy wrestling. One that I always say is my favorite, and looking back in hindsight, it might not have been as great as I remember it. It was in Hopkinsville, Kentucky for UCW. Shout out to Terry England. And it was me and Ronnie Roberts. And, the match might not have been as good as I remember it, you know, but it was the first match that things really clicked, because we didn't call it. That's how Ronnie is, you know, we didn't call anything. I got there. It was just, we went out there and did it. He said, go out there, get on the mic, get some heat. I did it. He came out. The fans were eating out of our hands the whole time. And that's really one of those. I don't know how to say it, but when you first start wrestling, it's almost like you have earmuffs on and you're not hearing the crowd.
Right.
You're trying to think of like, what am I doing next? What am I doing next? What am I doing next? And that match in particular was one of the first that really it clicked, you know, listening to the people. Because a lot of times you're going off the interactions and their reactions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A match should be a roller coaster. It should be a story. It shouldn't be a bunch of moves just to do moves,
right.
You know?
Right.
What is the outcome you're trying to get? And that was the reason I say that one is just because me and Ronnie had just such a connection that night for some reason. After that, I'm trying to think of others that really, you know, anytime I work with Birdo, I don't have a particular one, but Birdo and Hippo, anytime we work together, I don't know, because we've worked in many promotions together. Grindhouse, Strictly Insane, UCW, New South.
New South, yeah.
You know, so I don't have a particular one, but any match with Birdo is a good match. And then after that, there's a lot of guys. I just can't put a finger on one match in particular. You know what I mean? But some of my favorite people to work, I'd say Ronnie. Me and Damian Chambers just had a couple matches for Grindhouse. It was really good. Just recently, literally yesterday, me and Cash Jackson had a really good match for Grindhouse. Ethan Heyer, he's really coming along. He's going to be big one day. Trying to think of other people. Christopher Matthews at UCW, we just went through a 7-match series. Really good. Just off the top of my head, there's a few of my favorite people I've wrestled. So
no, fair. I like that. And I like that you put Berto, because I love Berto. I love Hippo. I love that thing right there. That's very entertaining right there. What was the decision behind doing the deputy gimmick?
So when it came with the deputy gimmick, I've told this story on other podcasts as well. My brother passed away in 2013. His name was Tyler Lee Deputy. And that's the name I use in the ring. And when I got into wrestling, I decided to use his name as a tribute. I was 20 at the time. He was 19. A drunk driver hit him from behind. And he was walking. But whenever I got into wrestling, I had decided that I was going to use his name as a tribute. And that's actually, I have a badge tattooed on my chest with the dates and the initials. I got that way before I was getting into wrestling, as like a tribute to him, because his last name was Deputy. One day we were training and Doug Basham just asked me, "So what's your gimmick?" And I had a big beard at the time. And he said, I told him, you know, the whole backstory about my brother and Tyler Lee Deputy. He said, he looked me up and down and goes, "You kind of look like a cop."
Yeah.
And he said, "Beat the deputy." He's like, always talking third person. Come out. Lots of finger guns, bang, bang. Just be the law. And I just ran with it. You know what I mean? I don't think necessarily they saw the vision the same way I did. Necessarily at OVW. But that was really, it was just Doug Basham and a random comment. You know what I mean?
Right.
In practice. So, at no point did I think, oh, I'm going to go like the police, you know, with my gimmick. I didn't know what my gimmick was going to be. I just knew I wanted to be Tyler Lee Deputy as a tribute to my brother. Mm-hmm. So.
I like that. And I'm sorry to hear about the passing of your brother. That's terrible. But I like that you're using your wrestling as a tribute to him and the identity that you're being. I like that you're using that. as a tribute. For someone who has not seen a Tyler Lee Deputy match or seen your work, how would you describe yourself?
For me, I'm very loud in the ring. I like to talk. I'm a talker. And a lot of people don't realize this, it's the things you do in between the moves. So next time someone does see one of my matches, keep that in mind. I don't know necessarily how to describe it, especially my early matches, because I really didn't know how to tell a story. And I still haven't been having matches for 2 years at this point. In January, it'll be 2 years. But I feel like I've got a better grasp on telling stories and getting people sucked in. I definitely like to put matches together. You know what I mean? Piece by piece. Like, oh, you tease something here, come back with it.
Right.
I know this is a lot of inside baseball, but I mean, kayfabe's in the dictionary now. So, you know what I mean? I don't know necessarily how I would describe one of my matches. I like to interact with the fans. You know, they paid money to see the show. I want them to remember me. You know what I mean? That's the only way I can describe it.
No, I'd agree with that, because the best wrestling shows that I've been to are the ones where you're really getting that interaction. And you're, you know, as a fan, I'm yelling at the whoever that heel is, and, you know, cheering for the baby face, you know, yelling at that heel, and they're actually, you know, because I'm the type of fan where I like the heels predominantly. You know, you got to really make me pissed off, basically, before I'm going to really boo you or whatever, or call you names, whatever it may be. But, yeah, when you get that interaction with the fans, that's what I really feel like is, you know, just you got the person hooked, you got the fans hooked, and so that's really important. I feel like
ultimately,
do you prefer to work as a heel or a babyface?
I can do either. I like to work both. I use the same move set either way. It's just the mannerisms in between and the interactions. Me in particular, only two companies have ever booked me as a babyface. So I'm used to playing the heel persona, and it kind of works with the cop gimmick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
30 cop, that's easy, you know? There's a lot to it. And I will say that's another thing I love about Grindhouse Pro Wrestling. They're giving me, the platform to try new things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To push the envelope. They don't put you in a box. It's not, hey, this is what we need you to do move for move, as if you were on television or had an agent. With them, here's your finish. You know what I mean? Here's who you're wrestling.
Right. And
from there, you have the story. You can write the story yourself. And I'm really trying to get more into making content and getting myself out there. Especially with them running just, you know, last Sunday of the month, trying to tell stories. But I think that's another reason that Grindhouse is so successful, because it leaves you wanting more. You know what I mean? And it's a great roster. And I'm not putting down any other promotion that I work for, because that's the place I love to work the most. But I love everywhere I work. I'm not going to sit here and name them all, but I've worked for many promotions this year. And next year, I hope to work even more, you know. The end goal for me in wrestling was to be able to quit my day job and do this for a living.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, I've got that day job, but I'm trying to work as much as I can. And I don't know if it's just winter, but my bookings have kind of slowed down. Typically just one a week is what it's been. But all through the summer, I was working, you know, 3 or 4 times a week on top of my day job, you know. Wow. I'm just excited to see what 2024 brings, you know. New opportunities, new places. I've only wrestled in 5 states, you know.
Oh, wow.
When I get consistent work in those states. And when I work for some place, I try to make a good impression, try to do the right things, and most places bring me back. You know, I've never had a bad experience with a promoter. So
definitely, definitely. Can you talk about the experience of working or being a part of a segment with Impact Star Heath last year in OVW?
So that was really kind of that was Eric Cornish idea.
Wow.
The ring announcer. I was actually in a dark match that night with Anthony Katina.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up to me because there was a while in the dark matches, they would just give me a microphone and just let me try to do some stuff. And then the baby would come out, whatever, it'd be a smudge. But they had remembered that, and they were having Impact was coming to town. Mm-hmm. And typically the other promotions would have something worked out with OVW where they'd come in, promote the show, tickets coming up, whatever. He just comes up to me and he goes, we've got somebody from Impact coming in. We just need you to come cut a promo. And it's weird because it was a year ago today. I didn't know who it was going to be. I was told Rhino. They said you might be taking a gore tonight. I didn't know what was going on. I went out and had my match. I come to the back and they tell me that Heath Slater's here. Just go out, cut a promo with him. He's going to hit you with the belt. And that's all I knew. I didn't talk to Heath Slater before that. In the ring. Afterwards, we shook hands. He said, thank you. But that was it. You know, it was kind of surreal. I didn't really have time to take it in. You know what I mean? Because I had just gotten done with a match. Came back, there was one more dark match. And next thing you know, like, I hadn't had an interaction with Heath at all. And I'm going out there and cutting a promo on him. So it was really cool. Definitely a cool experience, but I didn't have time to really take it in. You know what I mean?
Right. So you legit just found out, like, you didn't know he was coming or anything that night?
They knew that somebody from Impact was coming.
Yeah.
To promote the show.
Right.
And typically those segments, somebody would come, you know, get the crowd riled up before the show and, you know, talk about the tickets and, you know, promote the upcoming event. And they wanted to do something different. So they just had me go out there and kind of promo. And it was really cool. I'd like to interact with Heath more, really. That was the one and only time. And like I said, we really just shook hands and he thanked me afterwards. That was about it.
That's really a cool opportunity right there. Now, can you talk about working the 4-way Rust Division Scramble match at the 2023 OVW Nightmare Rumble with yourself, Jared Kripke, ZDP, and also TW3?
So that was, I really enjoyed that match too. I got there and I wasn't on the card at all. Somebody didn't show up. I was thrown in that match last second. And that was because, TW3 and Kripke went to the officials of OVW and were like, Put Deputy in there. It was really cool. That's a very good match. If you go back and watch it, I feel like it was a very interesting dynamic too, because we're all kind of different characters, with ZDP being in the Fallen, Kripke, he's very crowd interactive too, very high energy. TW3, he's more of the dancing 80s hip hop, and then I'm more of the piss you off heel that works slower. So it was an interesting dynamic. I really do love that match. It is on YouTube somewhere. But yeah, that was last year's Nightmare Rumble. So yeah.
That was really good. I went back and watched it actually today. That was a really good match.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I loved it. Can you talk about working with Crixus in LBW?
So that match too, I had gotten there and they put me with Crixus, and I think that match in particular is where they started looking at me. I don't know. I don't have anything negative to say about OVW, but I felt like they kind of looked at me in a different direction, because that match was supposed to make Crixus. The match was for Crixus, and they felt that I had too much offense in it. But I loved that match. I thought we had a really good dynamic, and I think he looked like a monster at the end. So, you know what I mean? But I know they did not like that match. But I thought we had a very good dynamic. I thought we worked really well together. So
definitely.
And I thought it was went over really well on TV as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, even that one, it looked like it did too. It did. Now let's talk about something more recent in Grindhouse Pro Wrestling. You actually held the Ring Generals, shout out to Ring Generals, the Ring Generals Heavyweight Championship, as well as the .com Championship at the same time. So what did it mean to you to be Deputy Two Belts, holding those championships at the same time?
It meant a lot, because, and I'm not just saying that, and because I had never held a championship before Grindhouse. And I won both of those in a match with Oliver Gunner and Sexy J. It was one of Oliver Gunner's last matches. It meant a lot to me because Ronnie had seen my growth. You know what I mean? He's given me a lot of freedom. I didn't necessarily know I was going to win until that day either. So that was really cool. It meant a lot. Especially because that means the company believes in you. You know what I mean? It was cool having both at the same time. Me and Damian Chambers had a short 2-month feud for the Ring Generals Championship. He is the Ring Generals Championship champion now. I have the GrindhousePro Wrestling.com championship. Which just yesterday, me and Cass Jackson had a, in my opinion, a really good match. I think we told a good story. And I successfully retained. So
there you go. Congratulations on that retaining the championship there. Now, speaking of that match with Oliver Gunner and Sexy J, Oliver Gunner, actually, shout out to him too, because he's an alumni of the Final Count here. And so what was that match like?
I think it came off really well. There was a lot of moving pieces to that match, because triple threats are hard anyways. And the thing about that match, that was my third triple threat in 3 days. And I had taken the I guess you call it the Tower of Doom spot, in all three matches. In all three of them, I was the one taking the suplex, and wow. I did it again in that match. It was just a lot of moving pieces. It was a lot of timing. But I thought everything came off well. I think everyone, I think we killed it. We really did. And shout out to both Sexy J and Oliver Gunner, because I think we all had our moments and had our chances to not necessarily get our stuff in, but to shine and interact with the crowd. You know what I mean? And it told a story. That's one of the biggest things with me, is telling a story, making it make sense. So.
Exactly. Speaking of telling stories, what is the law of wrestling? And what is the law of wrestling, being you are the deputy of professional wrestling? What is that law exactly?
So there's the actual law, and I am the law of professional wrestling. So I don't know, man. I'm just enforcing the law. I am basically, I'm here to hold people accountable for their actions in and out of the ring. So.
All right. Fair enough. We'll talk about 2024. You touched on it a little bit. Who are some people you would love to work with in 2024? And what are some promotions you'd like to get to in 2024?
Number one, Donovan Cecil. Me and him trained together. He's the Mammoth in OVW. Me and him trained together. He was in a class before me, but we've never had a singles match. I think it would be really good. Anytime I can get there with Ronnie Roberts, would, you know, I'll wrestle him any day of the week. I've never gotten to wrestle Tony Gunn. And I think that would be very special for me, because he trained me. We did at the, what is it called? The Derby Festival downtown, on the waterfront 2 years ago. We were the final two in a battle royal. And that meant a lot to me, just being in there with him. But as far as a singles match, I've never gotten to wrestle Tony Gunn. Other than that, you know, I'm just open to wrestle anybody. Anytime you get in there with Birdo, it's always a good time. And Corey Sparks, I love wrestling Corey. But I want to wrestle some new people that I haven't worked to. And I don't necessarily have any names off the top of my head. But I want to work new places. I want to work different people. You know, I want to travel. 2024, I really hope my bookings pick up, you know. And
2024, the year of the traveling deputy.
Hopefully.
What is next for Tyler Deputy in a few current promotions that you work for, such as, I have OVW on the list, but OVW, Grindhouse, and New South Pro Wrestling.
I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine, man. I show up and do what's asked of me and try to do it to the best of my ability. You know, just some upcoming shows I have. Real quick, this week I am in Monticello for TCW and UCW. They haven't announced it yet, but I'll be taking on Ethan Heyer. So you got a little exclusive there. And we know each other very well. Then on, let's see, December 2nd, I will be in Bradenburg, Kentucky for USWF, Vic the Bruiser show. Then on December 9th, I will be in Ferguson, Kentucky for TCW. December, or am I saying November or December?
December.
December 16th, I will be in Monticello again for TCW and UCW. And December 17th, will be for Grindhouse Pro Wrestling. I decided to take the last 2 weeks of the year off, so I didn't take any bookings that weekend. And I'm just excited to see what 2024 has to offer. So
there you go. And I encourage all fans listening, all fans watching, to get out to these shows. If you're in the area, if you're within driving distance, if you want to make a trip to these shows, get out, support Tyler Lee Deputy and everyone at these shows. Support great independent pro wrestling, and just support wrestling in general. These guys and ladies put their bodies on the line. So go out, support them, spend your hard-earned money, go out, buy their merch. Speaking of merch, where can fans find or purchase Tyler Lee Deputy merch?
Typically at shows. I have two different types of t-shirts, 8x10s. One of my biggest sellers was, and I couldn't keep them stocked, was aviator sunglasses. I would buy them and they would sell out. And I finally just stopped stocking them because I got tired of ordering them all the time. But that's typically what I have. I signed up for Pro Wrestling Tees, and for some reason they have denied every one of my designs. I don't understand why. And their reasoning is very vague. So I ended up going through Minuteman Press and just getting my t-shirts made myself. And I've been selling them at my merch stand. So
Nice. That's really awesome. I got something I can share with you. We'll talk about that off air. But cool. Yeah, I got something I can share with you in regards to the t-shirts. Fans, if you're at the shows, buy yourself some Tyler Lee Deputy merch as well. And then how can promoters contact you for their next show if they want to get you on their next show?
So the easiest way is to DM my Facebook page for Tyler Lee Deputy. But I am also, I have an email. It's a Gmail account, bookthedeputy@gmail.com.
Awesome. Promoters, go get him on your next show. Get Tyler Lee Deputy, the deputy of professional wrestling, on your next show. Go out there and book him. And then also, before I forget this, how can fans find you on social media?
Right now, I just have the Tyler Lee Deputy Facebook page. I have a personal account, but I don't necessarily accept fans to. So.
All right. Well, fans, go follow him on his Facebook page, Tyler Lee Deputy on Facebook. Go follow him, give him some likes, give him some shares, all the good stuff. Watch any videos that he posts, anything that he posts on there, go give him some follows. Give him some love over there on his Facebook page as well. Well, for right now, Tyler, I'd like to thank you for coming on The Final Count and being my guest on this week's The Final Count Spotlight. You're welcome to come back anytime, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
There you have it, wrestling fans. That was my interview with the Deputy of Professional Wrestling, Tyler Lee Deputy. And right now, again, I'd like to thank Tyler for coming on the show. And for now, as I say every week, we will see you down the road.